You are listening to the YLM Sermon of the Week podcast with Pastor Steve Tolbert. Be blessed and refreshed by this relevant word from the Lord.
Hallelujah. Lord God, we thank you, we honor you, we lift you up for who you are and what you want to do in our lives on today. Lord, we say this is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. We just glorify you right now for your goodness towards us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. How many know God is good? God is good. He's good. He's good. And this week, you know, last week we talked about facing the giant of fear. And how many had some victory on this week? Amen. Amen. So today we're going to talk about conquering the giant of doubt. Conquering the giant of doubt. And so when we think about doubt, we think about how doubt can actually prevent us from experiencing the promises of God. It's that blockage that prevents us from really entering in. In the scriptures, in Hebrews, it tells us that the people that were in the wilderness, there were some of them that didn't make it into the promised land because they did not believe. They doubted the promises of God. And you'll see, if you read the Old Testament, you'll see where they complained about God. They complained about their situation, and they didn't rely on his promises. But we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that. So the scripture we're going to come from is going to be from Numbers, the 13th chapter. Numbers, the 13th chapter. And we're going to go from verse 25 to 33. And we're going to use the New King James today. And so Numbers 13, verses 25 to 33 says this: "And they returned from spying out the land 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told them and said, 'We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey. Then this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan.' Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, 'Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it.' But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we.' And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, 'The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight.'" Amen. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. Amen. And so you look at that, and as I stated last week, a lot of times our perception is what prevents us from really walking in faith. Our perception is what prevents us from walking in faith. Because you see that there are two different types of reports that are presented here in the book of Numbers, chapter 13. You see that Joshua and Caleb said, "Yo, it's great here. We got this. We can do this." But then you had the other side of this story where you had people that were not walking in faith. And what happened? They said, "We can't do this. It's what they're giant." So they both saw the same people, but their perception of what they saw determined the level of faith that they were able to walk in. See, you got a lot of people that are, let's grab the bull by the horns and let's just go for it, right? You got, anybody got friends like that? where you were younger, you know, and then you would go by that abandoned house in the neighborhood, and then you had the people that said, "Ooh, let's go and explore." But then what you had that one person, and maybe you was that one person that said, "I don't know about that." You know, it looked like it's unstable. It looked like it might fall in on us. You know, there might be some crackheads in that house. You know, anybody ever had that? Like you were that one person that if everybody else said, "Let's do it," you were the one person that said, "I don't know about that." Because again, it's about your perception. I remember when I was younger, I was in the seventh grade. They took us rock climbing, and I remember everybody had the opportunity to climb the rock, right? And you saw some people going up, you know, and they got to the top of the mountain, and they were like, "Yeah." And then I want to tell you, I was that other person that I looked at the mountain, I looked up the mountain, I said, "I don't know about this." I said, "Where's the walk path so I can walk up and meet them up there? Because I don't know if strong enough to hold me." But if I would have had faith and daring enough to believe that what was holding me was strong enough to keep me from falling, and you think about the scripture where it says, "Now unto him that is able to keep us from falling." And so in our walk with faith, there's a lot of times where we will see experiences that will kind of shake us and make us doubt whether God is able to keep us from falling. And so in Numbers 13, we see where Joshua and Caleb said, "Let's go in and do this." And the scripture in Hebrews tells us that Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit. What spirit did they have? They had the spirit of faith, which mentioned in Romans. So they had the spirit of faith. But what did the spirit that the other people had? They had the spirit of doubt. The spirit of doubt said that these people, yes, they're tall, but when we look at them, we look like grasshoppers in their sight. Did they tell them, "You guys look like grasshoppers"? No, they didn't say anything to them. But they assumed that because they were of great stature, or they were giants, all right, they were giants, so that meant that they were beyond the height of 6'3". They were stretching into the 7 foot, 8 foot, 9 foot territory. And so because they saw them as giants, they said that if we try to go against them, they're going to defeat us. But they had a promise from God that said that this land belongs to you. And so we got to remember that it's about perception. It's about perception. How do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as one who will inherit these promises of God and who loves the size of the grapes? They were so big that they had to carry them on spears. Clusters of grapes carried on spears. That's how big it was. But see, Joshua and Caleb saw the goodness of the land. But see, the other spies, they saw the evil. They saw defeat. They saw that they would become another casualty of war. So how do you see yourself? And so then when we go into the scripture, there's some words that you need to think about. When they mention doubt, that means to hesitate. In the Hebrew, that's a word that means to hesitate or to waver. That word grasshopper, it symbolizes their smallness and their insignificance, and the giant represents the formidable challenges. And so what did Jesus tell us when we come against mountains? Formidable challenges. He said that if you speak to that mountain and say, "Be removed, be cast in the sea," and then what he say? Don't doubt, don't waver, don't think that it won't happen. He says that if you speak and you do not doubt, there cannot be room for doubt in your heart. If you're trying to move forward in God, if you're trying to do something for God, then you cannot have doubt in your heart. Because it's those people that Hebrews tells us what happened. He says that they didn't experience the promise of God because the promise was not mixed with faith. Because doubt will cancel out the promise. And so when we look at another scripture, Let's look at James 1, verse 6. James 1, verse 6. It says, but let him who asks in faith without doubting, let him ask in faith without doubting, for the doubter is like a surging sea driven and tossed by the wind. Those are the people. Again, in the Hebrew, that word meant to hesitate or to waver. And so in the Greek, it goes further and says, they're like a surging sea. And what happens when there's a storm surge? You see the water moving and going up and down, up and down. It's not constant. It's just moving up and down because the wind is the force that's acting upon the water. And so he says, ask in faith without doubting. So if you ask God for anything, then you have to, one, be convinced that is a promise that he wants you to have. If I find it in his word as a promise, then that means it belongs to me. That means that when I ask for it, I can't doubt that he really wants me to have it. He's not like the bully in the neighborhood that tried to keep your hat from you. He's not playing keep away with his promises. And Paul tells us that all the promises of God in him are yes. So if you ask me for something and I say yes, that means that it's yours. And then amen. And so I'm going to stamp it with an eternal seal that says it can't be taken away from you. And so God wants you to have his promises, and then God says that once you actually receive his promises, nothing and no one can take it away from you. And so Israel was functioning off a promise of God, but everybody was not in the same mindset. They were not from the same posture or position. Some people were like, when they heard Joshua and Caleb say how good it was, they were excited, but then what happened? Who deflated their hope? The other 10. So I want you to understand this, that out of everybody that actually inherited the promised land, Joshua and Caleb were the only ones of the original group that went in. It was Joshua, Caleb, and then everybody who was under the age of 40. And so that's why we have to have faith in God. And in one translation of that, it says, have faith in Mark 9. It says, have faith in God consistently and constantly. And so doubt often comes from focusing on circumstances rather than God's promises. And so we need to think about, what are we focusing on? Are we focusing on what's going wrong in our life? Or are we focusing on what God wants to bring into our lives? God doesn't want to bring anything bad into your life. See, the external or adverse circumstances that we experience are a result of the fall of man. But when God redeemed us in Christ Jesus, he redeemed us from the curse. He redeemed us from the bitterness. That's what curse means, the bitterness that was brought upon us by Adam's disobedience. And so we need to think about, what are we focusing on? Then the other thing we need to do is we need to acknowledge God's promises. And again, 2 Corinthians 1:20 says what? For every one of God's promises is yes in him. And so we need to make a list. So go through the Bible and make a list of God's promises and remind yourself daily of those promises. If you don't know where to start, you need to go to our website, ylmconnect.org. Yeah, I'm doing a plug. And you need to go to the Faith Corner, and there are many articles and blog posts in there that have the promises listed out for you. But it's going to take some reading, some studying. So according to LifeRay Research, 85% of Christians believe God's promises are true, but they struggle with doubt. So that means just 15% of people actually believe that God means what he says when he says it. So which group are you in? Then surround yourself with a faithful community. This is a community of faith where we believe the promises of God, which is why we have to share the praise reports of what God is doing. We have the Faith Builder Huddle, where this week I saw Sister Brown put on there, "Oh my God, I'm a winner." I want her to share what she won, but I know it's something good. In Hebrews 10:24-25, it says this. Hebrews 10:24-25 says, "And let us consider one another in order to provoke love and good works." So if you see somebody that is experiencing a faith fight and they're wavering, then you need to go to them and you need to encourage them in the faith. You need to tell them what you want. You need to tell them your healing. You need to tell them your breakthrough story. You need to remind them that God has not forgotten them. You need to provoke them to love and to good works. And faith worketh by love. So we need to provoke them to love and good works by sharing what God is doing. And so we need to engage this community so we can be encouraged to have faith over fear. Have faith over fear. Because, see, a lot of times your fears are what are keeping you from really walking in faith and from doubt. And your fears are what's making you doubt that God is actually going to rescue you from your situation. Your fear is what's making you doubt that God actually looks favorably upon you and he wants you to have his best. Yes. And so you need to engage. That's why you can't stay home. You can't just do online church. You got to come in person. There's a connection that happens when you're in person. And so that word provoke in the Greek means to incite or to stimulate. Yes. To stimulate. It means it means that if there's a person, think about this. If you watch those medical dramas, what happens when a person's heart starts to flatline? They connect them to the paddles so that they could stimulate a rhythm. Yes. And so some people, their faith is dead. And they need you to come along with the word of God, and you need to stimulate. You need to stimulate their faith. You need to stimulate them to action. Because sometimes some people are waiting. They're waiting for somebody to come and resuscitate them. And then we need to focus. We need to refocus on God's power. Remember a few lessons ago, I told you that we need to focus on God's power instead of our problems. And so we need to look at Ephesians 3:20, which tells us, "Now to him who is able to do above and beyond all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us." And so sometimes you're praying a prayer, you know, but sometimes you're not praying big enough. And so God says, to get you to that next place, what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually exceed your expectations and stretch your faith to that next place. So maybe you have faith for a headache today, but tomorrow you're going to have faith for cancer healing. So we need to refocus on his power. His power has not run out of potency because he's able to do above and beyond all that we ask or even think. The word of God actually helps us to stretch our thinking because we serve a limitless God where nothing is impossible. But see, when we come into Christ, we're not always on that level yet. And so what we need to do is we need to daily study the word of God so that it stretches our thoughts, it stretches our ability to believe for more. And so we need to reflect on the past instances where God has shown us his power in our life. And then we need to take action despite our doubts. In Joshua 1:9, God says to Joshua, "Having I commanded you, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And so there comes a time where, yeah, we may open the door to go out, but then we freeze. And then God has to stand on the other side of the door, because he's not going to come back into the limitation. He's going to be on the other side of the door saying, "Didn't I tell you? Didn't I tell you?" I remember when I was little, and I hate cats. And I remember how, if anybody like cats, I'm praying for you. But I remember how there would be a cat that would be in front. My dad would be taking me to school, and there would be a cat that would be in front of the stairs. And I remember he would be already out there at the gate about to go to the car, and I would just be at the top of the stairs. And he like, "Come on, Steve, come on." And I'm like, no. I'm like, "It's going to kill me. It's going to get me." Cats are evil. But, I mean, he would be on the other side. And then my dad would say to me, he said, "I told you it's all right. Come on. It's more afraid of you than you are of it." And so that's what God is doing to Joshua. Joshua is at the door about to go in, but then he freezes for a second. And then God has to tell him again, "Didn't I tell you it's going to be all right? Didn't I tell you that you got this? Didn't I tell you that I'm going to provide for you? Didn't I tell you?" And so sometimes God has to remind us and give us that stern reminder that we need to take action in spite of our doubts. Because when I would step out there, all of a sudden, what would happen? The cat would run from me. And so we need to take action in spite of our doubts. So act in faith, trusting in God's presence. So it was the presence of my Father that reassured me. So it's the presence of our Heavenly Father that reassures us in the challenges of life that we will be okay. And so it's his presence that arises in the times of challenge that provokes us or stimulates us to have trust and faith instead of doubting him. Then we need to renew our minds. We need to renew our minds. In Romans 12, verse 2, it says, "Don't be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And so right now, over some of you, there's a sign that says "under construction." Because who you were is not who you are becoming. What was possible for you before you came in Christ is what was impossible, rather, before you came in Christ is now possible for you because you're with God. But see, I need to go through a process of mind renewal. That means that if you don't understand, in Genesis, do you realize that mankind walked in perfect faith with God before the fall? Mankind trusted God completely, which is why when God came in the cool of the day looking for their usual meeting time, he didn't see man because what? Man thought that his flaw, his transgression was a reason for him to run. God is not afraid of your sin. He wants to redeem you out of your sin. But he needs to make your mind new again. That's what that word renew means. It means to make it new again. That means that he wants to bring you back to the mindset that mankind had before the fall. And so be renewed in the spirit of your mind, because as we've gone through life, it's like being chewing gum. You roll on the ground, what do you pick up? Debris. So, and as we've come through life, we've picked up a lot of debris that has caused us to be afraid. Now, what business do I have being afraid of any animal when in Genesis it told me that he gave me dominion over them? But because of the fall, I rolled around in life and picked up some fear, forgetting my authority in Christ, forgetting the dominion that I had from the beginning. And so now in Christ, he says, I'm going to clean you off of all that garbage, and I'm going to make you new again. So we need to renew our minds with the Word of God. And so daily we need to practice meditating on the Word of God. So you find a verse of Scripture. The word meditate in the Hebrew means to churn. So you think about butter, right? It's made through a repeated action of churning. It's not just one time. They just push it and it's done. No, it's a repeated process of churning. And sometimes in that churning process, I get tired because I'm going through the same thing over and over again. I'm repeating the same scripture over and over again, but the end result is going to be good. So you need to meditate on the word. Take that one scripture. I don't care if it's Psalm 23, verse 1. But you need to go over and over and say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And continue to rehearse it over and over and over until it becomes a part of you, until you have increase on your mind, until you come against a situation where you need something and you say, I'm okay because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And so then we need to, again, trust in God's timing. And sometimes we want things to happen immediately because we're so used to a microwave generation. But sometimes God says there's a process that you need to go through, and it's not always an instantaneous thing. It's a gradual process because you didn't become broken instantaneously. You became broken gradually. And so in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 11, he says, he has made everything appropriate in its time. And so we need to cultivate patience, trusting God's timing is perfect. What did we say last week? He may not come when you want him, but it always come on time. So we need to trust his timing. And so according to Pew Research, 58% of Christians find patience challenging. They find patience challenging. But in James, we're told to let patience have its perfect work, that we can be brought to a point of maturity. That's what it means, complete or perfect. It means a point of maturity. It doesn't mean you never get nothing wrong. But it means that you have the maturity of nature and spirit to actually go through the process of getting it right. You don't park by your failures. Too many people, because something may break down, they park by the broken down structure. But you can't park by your failures. You have to be continuously thinking about the promise that God made to you. And you will not stop until you reach that promised land. See, Joshua and Caleb, that's why they had a different spirit. Because in spite of everything, even when Caleb was over 80 years old, he got to this mountain, and he liked the view from the mountain. He said, you know what? That mountain would be a great place to retire to. But then guess what? There were some giants there. And so the other 10, if they saw the giants, if they would have survived to see the giants, they would have said, you know what? I just come and visit every now and then. But Caleb said this. He said, give me my mountain. Give me my mountain. He said, that belongs to me. That nice piece of property is mine. Right. I'm about to dispossess you. I'm about to take this front. I don't care if you hang out on a corner every night from 12 to 4. No, but that corner, this neighborhood belongs to me. I don't care if the opioid crisis is getting worse in America, but this nation belongs to God. You need to see your challenges and not and look at challenges as an opportunity for God to show up and show off. And so trust in his timing, though. And so as we look at this, we need to realize that we are not defined by our doubts. We need to realize we're not defined by our doubts. We're not defined by our limitations, by earthly limitations, because we're now supernatural people who work with a supernatural God, who said all things are possible to those that believe, who said that if you can believe, you will see the glory of God. And I want to see his glory. I want to see his power. I want to see God break through. I want to see God do more than I can even ask or think. I may have been asking for a house, but then God says, I want to give you a mansion. I may have been asking for fare for Uber, but God says, I want to give you your own vehicle. I may have been asking just for a certification, but God says, I want to give you a degree. I may have been asking for a job, but God may say, I want to give you a business. So, Lord, we declare that we are not defined by our doubts, but we trust in your promises and your power, because you're greater than any giant that we face. We move forward in faith and confident in your perfect timing and unwavering love. God, we trust and believe that you will help us and you will prevent us from falling. But we will ascend that hill and we will stand in a holy place. God, we will reach the top of the mountain and we will dispossess any of the inhabitants, those giants that think they may try to overtake us. We will dispossess the giant of cancer. We will dispossess the giant of family struggle. We will dispossess the giant of poverty. We will dispossess the giant of not enough, because you are strong in us. And so we thank and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Partner with YLM financially using the following methods. The YLM mobile app. Text GIVE to 1-844-948-3895. Cash App $ Yes Lord M. On Givelify, search for Yes Lord Ministries in Kenilworth, New Jersey. Our website. Visit www.ylmconnect.org and click donate. Mail checks and money orders to Yes Lord Ministries, Post Office Box 425, Union, New Jersey 07083. Download the YLM mobile app and stay connected with our ministry 24/7. On behalf of our lead pastor Steve Tolbert, our senior leaders Apostle Willie Tolbert and Apostle Mamie S. Tolbert, and the Yes Lord Ministries church family, thank you for joining us and welcome home.